It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
All right, let's try the direct line. Dr. Shumba, can you
hear
me? Yes, can you hear me, Dr. Shumba?
Yes, please.
Lovely, lovely. Good afternoon to you, sir, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us. So we are focusing on communication today. First, just define for us communication. What are we talking about here? Because generally when we talk communication, we are thrust into the deep end here as though we all understand and know what communication is. And by the way, I'm not disputing that communication is often cited as the foundation of a strong marriage. But it's not just about talking, is it? It's about listening to, it's about understanding, you know, connecting at a deeper level. You know, all those weird and wonderful things that people tend to talk to us about. So let's discuss about it. What exactly is communication in the Christian context?
I think to put it in a more simpler way, communication is actually sharing meaning between individuals.
Did you say
this can be expressed in terms of verbal,
right?
By words, or it can be nonverbal by gestures or body language. So we communicate, we transfer meaning from one point to another, or from one individual to the other individual.
Mm. Okay. All right. Let's move with that. What does the Bible teach us about effective communication in marriage?
The Bible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I think the Bible actually provides valuable guidance on how we can attain effective communication in marriage.
Right.
In fact, it emphasizes several principles that can enhance happiness and joy in marriage.
Okay.
For instance, it talks about love, honest, also patience and understanding. These tend to be cardinal values that can enhance communication and make marriages happier.
Okay. Take us to some of these texts wherein we could find teachings about communication in the scriptures.
Thank you so much. I think one text that comes into mind is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, okay. Verse 14. Which simply states, let all that you do be done in love. So this verse reminds couples to ensure that their words and actions are motivated by love.
Okay. Well, that verse seems to
be... You need another text?
Yes, yes. I was hoping we'll get something that would speak directly to communication. Or perhaps the preceding question should be, does the Bible talk about communication? Is communication as important to scriptural marriages as it is to modern coaches and therapists when they coach us and give therapy to marriages that are on the rocks?
I think it does. In the sense that it provides principles that we can apply in the way we communicate one with another. And some of these principles, for instance, in Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
Right.
So really here it teaches about gentleness and kind words, which can actually... and escalate conflict.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
Yes.
That's a brilliant text there. So it teaches us to de-escalate situations that could escalate into something unfathomable and unmanageable. Very beautiful, beautiful point there. All right, let's talk about now poor communication. How can poor communication lead to conflict or misunderstandings in a marriage? And I'm assuming perhaps that very same text you have just quoted would perfectly fit here. Go ahead, Doctor.
Yes, for poor communication, I should think what really poor communication can do is that it can lead to conflict and misunderstandings in marriage. By when you don't communicate properly, you'll be misinterpreted. And when people misinterpret you, often it can foster resentment and create some kind of emotional distances between spouses. So this is why poor communication can actually lead to conflict and misunderstandings, because of how we say something and the manner in which we express ourselves, and the timing can actually affect our communication.
Okay. Okay. And then when we're talking about poor communication, what exactly are we talking about? How would you define poor communication?
I'll define poor communication takes place when one is not clear, or there is lack of understanding of what the other person is trying to communicate. Sometimes when spouses make assumptions about what others are intended in their statements, that actually could be leading to poor communication and poor misunderstanding. So these assumptions can cause unnecessary conflicts because expectations are not clearly communicated or met.
Okay. Do you want to give us an example, perhaps?
For instance, let me see. For instance, I'm at home and I find my wife watching something, and then probably I don't like it. It hurts me. So how I will say it, it might be in a way that basically driven by anger than understanding what my wife is watching.
Okay.
So because of that, I'm saying that with anger, it might make me say things in a way that will not be helpful to my friend. My words, the choice of words may not be correct.
Right. Okay. Yes. All right. So that then would constitute poor communication?
I think so.
Okay. All right. And then what are some...
Because remember, communication is about sharing meaning.
Right.
And if meaning is not transferred effectively, then we'll be misunderstood.
Indeed.
Now, and when we are misunderstood, there's always a reaction for clarity.
Yeah.
So that can actually create more challenging in that situation.
Okay. I don't know if there is a couple in this mortal world that has never been told that communication is the bedrock of a good marriage, but still we find problems with communication. So what are some practical ways to improve communication between spouses?
Some practical ways, probably, if we look at Proverbs 18, verse 13, it says, to answer before listening, that is folly and a shame.
Right.
So in other words, listening is a cardinal component of effective communication.
Right.
And listening equally with understanding. Not just mere listening, but listening with understanding.
Right.
I think that is cardinal in order for our communication to be healthy and very good.
Yeah.
In fact, somebody was saying the challenge we have sometimes in marriage is that we don't seek to understand more than we want to be understood.
Right.
So if we want to be understood, first of all, we must seek to understand.
Yeah.
That's the only better way we can be understood. So no, oftentimes we are quick to be understood than to understand our friends. And
right.
As a result, we tend to misunderstand our friends.
Yeah. Understand before you seek to be understood. That's a good one. Let's talk about active listening, which is another tool given to couples. How can active listening and empathy transform a marriage?
For active listening, probably, again, James 1 verse 19 could give us some insights there. From the NIV, the Bible reads, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry."
Right.
So here we are encouraged to experience active listening. And active listening means giving your full attention to your spouse without interrupting.
Mm.
So it also includes, probably I could say, acknowledging their feelings and summarizing what they've said to ensure understanding.
Right.
And responding thoughtfully. Because sometimes when we respond, we are moved by anger than thinking.
Mm.
So our anger goes ahead of our thinking. So we become irrational,
right,
in the way we speak, because we are driven by anger.
Right.
So here, if we are slow to speak and quick to listening, I think that would be helpful in terms of active listening.
Right.
Active listening also involves reaffirming what your friend has said, asking questions.
Right.
That's being an active listener. Seek for clarity.
Right.
Did you mean this? Is this what you're trying to say?
Right.
So that at least you understand, then you are able to respond in a more active way.
Right, right. Okay, okay. Sure. And then couples now, how can couples navigate difficult conversations with grace and patience? Because while communication is very important, the things we communicate about are sometimes uncomfortable to engage. So what would you advise be the best way to navigate difficult topics and difficult conversations?
I think number one point, we must be willing to be vulnerable. Because oftentimes we don't say what is in our heart because we think will be misunderstood. We think my friend will react against me or you say something bad.
Right.
And as a result, we keep in us those feelings. And those feelings, if they build up, they become a source of conflict in the future.
Right.
Because they've not been uttered out emotionally. You have not removed that stress.
Okay.
So if we are to be effective in our communication, I think some authors I've read, I may not quote directly, but this is a general point, they encourage vulnerability in communication.
Right, right.
And at the same time, to those of us who are hearing, we need to respect our spouse's weaknesses and challenges.
Okay.
I think that way it will help them be more vulnerable and then be able to express themselves and speak more actively.
Right, right. And then my final question there, Doctor. Prayer. How does prayer and spiritual communication strengthen marital bonds?
Prayer?
Yes, sir.
I think prayer, the key point really, is not about the people who are praying.
Okay.
But the presence of God in that prayer.
Yeah.
You see, when prayer is given, we evoke God's presence. And that makes a big difference between the two people that are praying.
Right.
So you cannot pray really without inviting God into your presence.
Okay.
And that's what we need most in our relationship. It is God to help us stay spiritually connected.
Hmm.
So prayer can therefore provide a time for open and honest communication about a shared experience or shared feelings,
right,
or struggles that people have in life. So this is why prayer is very, very important. You'll agree with me. As human beings, we have natural weaknesses. We have natural biases.
Mm.
And these on our own, we cannot overcome them without God helping us in the process.
Right.
And this is where praying together as couples helps us overcome certain tendencies or inclinations that are natural in us and we don't have any power to overcome them.
Mm.
By the way, prayer and asking God helps us be vulnerable without hiding our identity.
Right. Okay. All right. All right. Ah. Now, the idea of being vulnerable is easier said than done, Doctor. But I didn't totally understand. It's something that we all need to learn. And to be guarded is something that we need to unlearn. I take that wholeheartedly. Thank you very much, Dr. John Jumba. Really appreciate your time. We have a lot to talk about still tomorrow. We have the rest of the week for you to unpack these lessons for us. And I'm hoping everybody is learning as much as I am. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you. I really appreciate for these little moments we can share something
Indeed.
That can help us in our marriages, strengthen us and build our marriages that they may be happy
Indeed.
And quite fulfilling.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you very much, Doctor. Have a wonderful day for
sure.
that. All right.
Thank you too, and God bless you and with the programs you are bringing across to be a blessing to many people.
Indeed. Thank you very much, sir.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.